All right, praise God. And so as we're talking, we're in the middle of this series right now that I've been talking about ever since Resurrection Sunday. And the Lord laid on my heart a few weeks ago to just remind people what Jesus taught about during the Last Supper. And these last things that Jesus was teaching are so important in our Christian lives. The first thing that Jesus taught during the Last Supper was how to be a servant, how to wash feet, right? There is nobody there to wash the feet. So Jesus himself, after supper, girded himself, took off his clothes, he put a towel around, and he washed the feet of his disciples, even Judas, who was going to betray him soon. And then after that, he said, there's a new commandment that I'm giving you, and that you should love one another as I have loved you. And so Jesus, he continually was teaching this. And today, we're going to look at some really great things that Jesus taught during that Last Supper meal. How Peter, as much as I love Peter, he opens his mouth, as always, and says that he would never deny the Lord. And Jesus says, I know better. How many here, and I raise my hand first, have made a promise to God that we would not fail? And how many times have we failed? Amen. God, I'll be able not to do this again, and I did it again. I'm able not to go back to the same place that I came from, but I find myself right in the very same place that he saved me from. Well, Peter had this same problem. There's a few quotes, or it's not a problem, it's a Winston Churchill said this: courage is going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. Did you hear that? Courage, this is what courage is. You want to be courageous, you go from failure to failure and you don't lose your enthusiasm. Zig Ziglar, I don't know if you know him, but he's a speaker for Amway, not that I'm plugging them. But he said, it's not how far you fall, but it's how high you bounce. So it's not the falling, it's how high you can bounce back up. And this quote right here really struck me as this individual, and we'll know his name here in a moment. He said, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I have lost almost 300 games. 26 times I was trusted to make the winning shot, and I missed. I failed over and over and over again in my life, but that's what makes me succeed. His name was Michael Jordan. Right? And so our title of the message today is Hope in Christ and Don't Quit. God's going to call us to do many things in our life, and we're going to fall short. Amen? You will not be able to make it, especially without Christ as your helper. And expect failure, because you are going to fail. I fail all the time. And it happens. And it's not how many times that you fall down in the middle of the race. It's whether you have the courage to stand back up and to persevere. Amen. It's not how many times you don't make it. It's how many times you get back up and you go on to the next spot. See, you never lose unless you quit trying to get up. You never lose unless you stop believing in the one who called you. But let me let you know that as we get into the Bible study today, Jesus knows where you're going to fail. Before he ever calls you to the task, he knows where you're going to fail. And he wants to encourage us today, right now, don't take that failure personally. Okay? Don't take that failure as a way that you can't overcome it. Because God will overcome in you and make you greater as you've come short of the goal that he calls you to. Amen? And he'll bring you into more than what you can put out. God never calls us to do things that we can do. Did you know that? God will never call you, hey, I want you to do something that's well within your mindset, your abilities to do. He says, I want to call you to something that you are absolutely unable to attain. I want to do that I can get the glory. I want to call you to this, and then I'm going to work in you, and God is going to accomplish it in you, because it's He that needs the glory, not you. If he could just call somebody into something that they knew that they could do, where does the glory go? It goes to that person. But if he calls people to do things that they're absolutely unable to do and it still gets done, then it's God who gets the glory, not the individual. And so that's what the Lord has laid on, the Lord had called to do, to work. And as we get into this study today, I'm going to pray a psalm real quick. This is a couple of psalms, actually. It's Psalm 90 and verse 1, and then Psalm 91. And so as we go into this, let's lift this before the Lord. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my fortress, He is my God, and in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver me. I'm going to personalize this. He will deliver me out of the snare of the fowler and out of the gnawsome pestilence. He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings I will trust. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler. I will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flieth it by the day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor of the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Thousands shall fall by my side, and 10,000 at the right hand, but it shall not overcome me. Only with thine eyes shall behold and see the reward. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge. I have made God my refuge, and that's why nothing will affect me, Lord. I trust You. You are my refuge, the Most High, my habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, and lest you dash your foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot, because He hath set His love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him, and I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's Psalm 91 and Psalm 90 verse 1, and then all of Psalm 91. A lot of this is referring to Christ, but it can be turned over into us. If we will trust in the Lord as our shield, as our buckler, if we will trust in God in the midst of the problems that we face, if we trust in God, He promises that He will guard us, that He will set our feet above the problems. He will set our minds outside of the situation that we're in. God wants to shelter you and to cover you with His wings. Do you know it? I hope that you know it, or at least I hope by the end of the message today that this will become a reality in your life, because God calls us to do the hard things. Amen. He calls us to put our full trust and our weight inside of Him. Last week, or over the several weeks that we've been going through John, so if you'll open your Bible to the book of John, chapter 13, towards the end. Last week we talked about the new commandment that God had given, to love one another as He has loved us. And He told us in John 13 and 33, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you, and you shall seek me. And I said, and I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. Now I say unto you, a new commandment that I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And by this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another." That's what we talked about last week. And in understanding the love of God, and in understanding that God has prepared a dwelling place for us, that is all under the umbrella of His wings, under the umbrella of His compassion. He's calling us to know that He loves us even if we fall short. And we're going to see Peter's falling short here in just a moment. Even if He calls us and He expects this and we don't quite hit that mark, He still loves you as you push for the high calling of Christ. He still wants you to dig deep and move forward in Him. He wants us to understand the deep compassion that He has for us. And as we love others, then that is shown to the world. Before I get into the new scripture, let me go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your goodness and grace. I thank You for Your word, Lord God. I pray that You would encourage us today not to faint, not to quit, Lord God, that we could always have our hope in Christ and in Christ alone. Father, not of the workmanship of my hand, but the workmanship of Your hand. Father, help me dig more deeply in my personal life to honor You with all that I am, with all that I'm called to be. Lord Jesus, I pray that You would speak to Your people today. Holy Spirit, speak to the folks that will hear this message over the internet and here in this body right now. Father, You call Your people. You speak to them through the Holy Spirit. Call them to see Your love, Your grace, Your compassion. And encourage us to walk upright with You. And we thank You for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, the picture, and I want to paint this picture for you. They're still around the table as Jesus is going a little bit deeper with the teachings. Remember, He talked about being a servant, and He talked about loving one another. And now He's getting more personal, more deeper. He's asking us to demonstrate the compassion of Christ. When I'm thinking of that, the compassion of Christ, it reminds me of Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. God demonstrates His own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Did you catch what that said? While you were still a sinner, before you ever tried to do anything right, Jesus Christ died for you. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. He died for you because He loves you. Not only that He died for you, but that He rose again on the third day because He is God, to prove who He was, to prove His greatness, to prove His authority over death. We're supposed to love each other. We're supposed to be kind to one another. He is calling us to seek His best for not our lives, but for your lives. I don't seek God's best to make me better. I seek God's best to make you better. Amen? You seek God's best to make the person to your right and to your left better. We are to build one another up in Christ. And when we do that, sometimes we get big heads. Amen? Look at what I'm doing for Jesus. I love you so much. I'll never turn away. I'll never fall. Look at how great I am. Careful. When you think you stand, lest you fall. Peter had this problem, and it's the same problem that most of us have. And as as these teachings are coming out, Simon Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, whither goest thou?" And Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou cannot follow now, but thou shalt follow me hereafter or afterward." So Peter is referring back to verse 33 of chapter 13. He says, where Jesus said, "Where I'm going, you can't come." Yeah, Jesus said that right there in 33. And so Peter's asking about that question. He skipped over the new commandment about love. And he went, "Hey, Jesus, where are you going that I can't come? Hey, Lord, I love you supremely. I'll go wherever you see me. I'll do whatever it takes. Amen. I will be with you. I'll follow you. I will walk with you. I will be on your side." Okay. "On your side. I will do the things that you called me to." And he says, "Whither I go, you can't follow me now, but you will follow me afterward." And Peter said unto him, "Why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for your sake." How many people, now think of this. Now put yourself in the middle of supper. Okay, put yourself in the middle of where he's at, and you're saying to Jesus, "No matter where you go, I'm going to follow you." Okay, put yourself on a Sunday afternoon or on a Sunday morning. Put yourself in the middle of wherever you're at, and you're saying, "Jesus, I will follow you." right after the tennis match. I'll follow you right after I wash the dishes. I'll follow you right after I do what's important to me. I'll follow you, right? Don't we have that problem? But in our heart is saying, Lord, I'll follow you no matter where you go. But then once he starts going somewhere, you say, I can't go there because of this other thing that's happening in my life. Who here has experienced that? I have. Man, I tell you, I have come short more than one time. I have done exactly what Peter did here with Jesus. He says, Jesus, I'll follow you. I'll do it. I'll lay my life down for you. Until fishing came up. Until a John Wayne movie came on. I promise I'm going to read the Bible today for 6 hours until, you know, Oprah Winfrey happened or whatever you happen to be caught up on the tube or until the phone rings. How many people have sat down to prayer and say, God, no matter what, I'm going to pray to you. I'm going to seek you out. And then the phone rings. What do you do? Stop praying. Pick up the phone. Right? What's more important, prayer or phone? I promise you, Lord Jesus, I'm going to get into my war room. I'm going to get into my closet. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to do the thing that you want me to do today until anything else happens. How often we turn away. See, Peter's making that same proclamation right now. He's saying, hey, Jesus, I will follow you. I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus answers and says, hey, really, you think you'll lay your life down for me? Really, Pete? Now, he said this out of love and out of compassion. I don't think he was talking down to Peter because he knew Peter's heart. He knew what was going to happen. So when we make these promises to God and we fall short, God already knew that you were going to miss the mark. He already knew that you were going to fall short, just like Peter was going to fall short. Jesus already knew these things. And Jesus said, wilt thou lay down your life for my sake, Pete? Verily, verily, or truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, before the cock shall not crow till you have denied me thrice. In other words, hey, Peter, before the sun comes up, before the sun breaks the horizon three times, that's more than that, one more, three times you're going to deny me. You said that you're going to lay your life down for me. Is everything okay? Okay. You said that you're going to lay your life down for me. Well, I'm telling you, before the sun rises, you're going to miss the mark. We say this all the time. We say in so many different aspects of our lives, God, I will never forsake you. I'll never leave you. I'll never fall short. And God says, before the sun rises tomorrow, you're going to deny me. There's something going to come up in your life that you fear more than you fear me. There's something that's going to happen in your world that's going to drive you away from what I'm calling you to do. It's okay, I love you. I'll never stop loving you. Your heart's in the right place, but circumstances are going to happen. And you're going to be afraid. And you're going to lose sight of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus was really telling to Peter here. And as he's saying that to Peter, he says, I love this in chapter 14. And so often this is preached without the other side being preached. He says, let your heart not be troubled. Believe ye in God, also believe in me. Hey, Peter. Hey, Curtis. Hey, Bonnie. Hey, Cliff. It's okay. I know you're going to fail. But don't let your heart be troubled. Don't lose faith over this. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe in Jesus. You believe that I'm able to, thank you, Lord, for this. We believe that God was able to set everything we know into motion, right? That in 6 days He created everything. You believe that? Do you believe that in 3 days Jesus rose from the dead? Do you believe that? I absolutely believe that. I believe it 1,000%. Millions. I believe that. But do I trust God just enough to take care of my finances? To take care of my loved one when I pray? Do I trust Him enough to lay down my heart's desire to pick up His heart's desire? Yeah. Well, I love you until reality hits. Amen. That happens so much inside of the body of Christ. And you know what Jesus says? Don't let your heart be troubled over that. I know you're going to fail. I know you're going to come short, but you know what? Get up. Don't stay down there. Believe in God. Believe in me. Believe in the word that I give you. Believe in my love for you. Believe that I died on the cross for you. Believe that I rose from the grave because I knew you were going to fall short. Don't sweat the small stuff. Everything is small stuff. The difference is falling down and staying down, or falling down and getting back up. Remember some of those quotes that we read, especially the one from Michael Jordan or the one from Zig Ziglar? It doesn't matter how far you fall, it's how high you bounce back up. That's Zig's. I don't like that. Because we all are going to fall. We all are going to think that we're not going to turn away. We all think that we're going to make it from now till the end and we'll never have a problem. We'll never have another sin. Folks, let me tell you, you're going to sin again. But let not your heart be troubled. Get up. Repent. Come back to the cross. Ask forgiveness. You're saved. Now repent. Amen? I'm not saying that you need to get re-saved, but you do need to live a life of repentance daily, because I sin, I miss the mark daily, oftentimes hourly. Amen? I don't want any of us to think that we have made it. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't worry about this. Don't be over concerned about it. Peter, you're going to deny me. But don't let your heart be troubled. He's talking to the 11 that were still in the room at the time. And he said, in my Father's house, there's many mansions, or there's plenty of dwelling places there. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I'm going and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, then I'm coming again. Glory to God. He's coming again. If you can believe in the Father, you can believe in the Son and believe that He's coming again. He's coming exactly when He's supposed to. He's preparing a place for you, even if you fall short. Amen? Even if you fall short. Now, I'm not telling you to live in a perpetual sin. We should not sin all the more that grace may abound. Amen. But you cannot within yourself stop from sinning. You will never be perfect. You cannot do it inside of this flesh because you are surrounded by sin. Your skin is sinful. This is a reminder. This flesh that you are wrapped up in right here, this skin that you have, this stuff right here, this is a reminder that I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there's a day that this corruption will be put off and incorruption will be taken on. There's a day that sin will be dealt with and it will be dealt with forevermore. Glory, ain't you happy about that? Wow, y'all look like some miserable Christians. This is good news, people. This is good news. He's preparing a mansion for you. He's preparing a dwelling place for you. He knows you're going to fall short. He knows you're going to deny Him from time to time. He knows that the goals that He has set for you, you cannot climb. You can't make it there on your own. And He has a way for you. If you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you those sins. Amen. He is faithful. He is just. He's going to do it because you can't. Isn't that good news? Amen. I need somebody to do the things I cannot do, because there's so many things I cannot do. The difference is when you fall, laying on the ground or standing up. You know, when you miss your 900 shots, okay? When you don't make the game-winning play, When you deny Jesus Christ three times before the morning comes, you don't stay there. You get up and you push forward. You trust in God because He died for you and He rose again from the grave. He said, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, also believe in me. This is good news. Jesus knows how far we are. Peter should have remembered being picked up from the angry waves. Amen. So often we have the faith to step out the boat. Right? You got faith to step out the boat every once in a while. You got faith to do something on the outside of the boat. And then what happens? You start looking around at your circumstances. Dude, I stepped out here. Man, it's deeper than what I thought. The waves are higher than what I thought. The trouble's more than what I believed it could be. So you start sinking. Why did you start sinking? Because you got stinking thinking. Stinking thinking always winds up in sinking. Right? Stinking thinking. You get your eyes, you get your focus off of Jesus Christ, and you start worrying about the things that are going on around you. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in me. When Peter started sinking after he knew he was in trouble, he was in over his head, he was outside of the boat, he was sinking, what did he do? 12-step plan. You know, first thing I do is I try to find my life vest. I try what I can do. I swim as hard as I can. No, all Peter did is say, Jesus, help me. And guess how quick he was there? It says, immediately Jesus was there. When we get in our life situation, when we say, Lord, we'll never forsake you, we'll never leave you, we're going to die for you, and we turn around before the sun comes up and we deny him three times, what do you do? Well, don't try to handle it on your own. Amen? Don't try to think you can handle it. I got this, God. Don't worry about it. No, stop it. Humble yourself. God will lift you up if you humble yourself down. Trust in him. Trust in him. Hold on to the hem of his garment for your healing. Because you can't do it on your own. God said, don't worry. Don't let your heart be troubled. Mark chapter 9, verse 23 and 24 puts it this way. If thou couldst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And then straight away the father, I got to tell you about the whole story. There's a man who had a demon-possessed child. Okay, and the disciples had come and could not cast out the demon. There's all that stuff that was going on. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And then the father, directly after that statement, the father of the child said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Do you believe that God can take care of your problem? Do you really believe it? Amen. I say I believe it, but I really don't believe it. I don't believe it because I don't turn back to Christ when the problem comes up. I don't believe it because when it didn't get fixed the first time, I quit having faith. See, that's when you fall down and you don't get back up. See, the confession of that is, Father, I believe that you're God. But I want to believe that you are the God that answers prayer. I want to believe that you're the God who really can do the thing that nobody else can do. I want to believe that you're the God so much that is able to meet me in the middle of my hurt, in the middle of my pain, and lift me up. But God, the situation around my life is so messed up. How can I believe? Then you need to pray for your unbelief. When you pray for your unbelief, then God did a miracle for that man. When he believed, when he confessed, I believe, God, that you're able, but I just don't believe you'll do it. Okay? I believe, but help my unbelief. Then God said, I got you, because you came to me with a whole heart. You came to me with an honest confession. Now come out, you demon. And that demon came out of that boy the same hour. Who here feels like you're in a situation that you cannot win? Amen? Praise God. You can't win, but God can win for you. Help my unbelief. Let your heart not be troubled. You're going to fall short. You're going to deny Christ. No, help my unbelief. Let not your heart be troubled. I have prepared a place for you. Hold on to the truth of God's Word. Even when you find it hard to trust Him, believe in Him. Amen. Because it comes to that part in your life. And Jesus is telling his disciples, just before they all leave him, just before they all scatter, he says, not only is Peter going to deny me, but you, John, well, not John, you, Philip, you, Andrew, all you guys out there are going to leave. And I know it. And it's okay. I know it. I will hang on the cross, and John and my mom and a couple other chicks are going to be there. Nobody else. Okay, chicks, I'm sorry if I said that derogatory. A couple other ladies are going to be there. All right? And I know that. Don't sweat it. Because I'm going to rise again. I'm coming out of the grave. You may believe that I'm a great teacher. You may believe that I'm a rabbi. You may believe I'm a prophet of God. But I'm going to come out of the grave in 3 days. And I'm going to prove to you that I'm God manifested in flesh. We need to hold on until the third day. Amen. You need to hold on until the trouble passes. You need to sweat it out for a little bit. But don't let your heart be troubled. It looks like it's the end. But you know the cool thing about the end? The next page is the beginning. Amen. He's got to kill part of you that the rest of you can rise up. Amen? We're supposed to die to our flesh and hold on to the truth of Jesus Christ in and through and on all things. Jesus is the truth, the life, and the way. Let me get back to the notes here or the message. After Jesus said that he went to prepare a place, Thomas speaks up and says, "We know not where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. If you would have known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth, you do know him and have seen him." People say that Jesus never called himself God. Well, there's a place right there. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. Well, how do we get to that place to where that we can know God this way? As Jesus explains to him that I am the door. I am the way. There is no other way to the righteousness of God but through me. He says, Jesus points it out that I am the way. He is the way to the kingdom. He is the truth. He's the truth about the kingdom of God. Amen. And he is the life. He is the life that we'll find inside of the kingdom of God. And where the Father is, that's where the kingdom is. And if you knew Jesus, you knew the Father. And he's telling us these things, preparing us for the kingdom of God. See, if we get so caught up in our circumstances that we forget to pray, we get so caught up in our circumstances that we don't read the Bible, we get caught up in our circumstances and we forget to love one another, then we're jeopardizing our kingdom with Christ. Did you know that? That it's not everybody who starts the race, but it's the ones who finish the race that get the prize. It's easy to start. Amen? You can pray to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, and guess what? You are saved. He saves you that very moment. He covers you with, he anoints you. Then he says, now that you're mine, walk with me. Learn of me. Learn how I do things. Imitate me. You know who I am. Then work with me. Walk with me. Know me. Let me love you the way that you're supposed to love others, and then pour yourselves in it. Because I am the way to Christ. I am the way to the kingdom. I am the truth about the kingdom. And I am the life that you'll find on the inside of the kingdom of God. And if you don't know Jesus, then you don't know the kingdom. And if you don't know the kingdom, then you don't know the Father. Because in the center of the Father, or the center of the kingdom, is the Father. He is the holding place. A lot of folks say, "Well, geez, you say you're the way, you're the truth, you're the life. How do I know? How can I get there from here?" Well, praise God! I'm glad you thought that. Glad I thought that, anyhow. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 10, verses 1-5: "Truthfully, truthfully, verily, verily, or amen, amen, depending on your translation, I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door of the sheepfold, but cometh in some other way, is a thief and a robber. And he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter or the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and they come to his own sheep, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And he putteth forth his own sheep, and goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Do you know the voice of God? When's the last time you heard the voice of God? I'm going to hold up a book before you. This here. This is the voice of God. Now, don't get me wrong. When I pray, I hear God's voice. He tells me what's right. He tells me what's wrong. Before I was able to understand through obeying the Word of God, the voice of God, I have the Word of God. Okay, and God wants to guide me through His Word. He tells me what's right, what's wrong. He tells me everything I need to know about this. I love that. Well, I think they call it acronyms. Well, you got letters and mean words. Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. Okay? That's your Bible. That's what it is. These are your basic instructions. This is what I need you to know before you die. Because I want to be with you. I want you to be in a dwelling place with me. So I have set a set of rules for you to follow. I've set a course of life for you to walk in. I have set you a way to get to me. In fact, I am the door to the sheepfold. I am, Jesus says, I am it. If you want to get there, you've got to come through me. You cannot get there any other way. If you try coming in the backside, coming in the back door, climbing over the edge, guess what you are? You're a robber and a thief. And you might look like a sheep, but if you are not following the shepherd, let me tell you, you're a wolf in sheep's clothing. There's a lot of folks who think that they're Christian, who think that they're waiting on God, but they're really not. They're liars. And they're in the body of Christ. They're tares. Let me put it that way. They're tares because Jesus talked about the tares and the wheat. Okay? Let them grow up together. A farmer went out and he sowed wheat in his field. The enemy came in and he sowed tares right behind him. Thing about a tare and a wheat is you can't tell the difference until the time of the harvest. I don't know if you're a tare. I don't know if you're a wheat. But if you are a tare today, we have a miracle working God that can change a tare into a wheat if you'll believe in Him. Amen. There's power in that belief. Because I know a lot of folks who are tares that turn into wheat. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And it changes people's lives. Jesus is telling his disciples during these teachings, and he's telling Thomas, he's telling them all, but Thomas answered the question. And he said, how can we know the way? How can you know the way to heaven, people? How can you know the way to the kingdom? Again, I'm going to hold up basic instruction before leaving earth. You need to have this book. You need this not just on your coffee table, not just on your bedstand. You need this in your heart. You need to read this every single day. And if you set up a goal like today, the Lord spoke to your heart and He says, I want you to read the Bible more often. You say, God, I'm going to read the Bible 24 hours a day. Oh, okay, you know that you can't do that, right? You say that I'm going to read the Bible 2 hours a day. You can do that, but really, are you going to? I mean, really, that's the least you can do. That's 10%. All right, if you read the Bible for 2 hours a day, that's 10% of your time you put into the Word of God. Amen? Think you can do that? 2 hours a day. Just 2 hours a day. Think of how much time you waste in front of the stupid box. Right? How many two-hour time spans go in front of the stupid box and you don't learn anything? God's saying, turn off the noise. Turn off the... How about not even the stupid... Well, how about the more stupid box we call smartphones? Computers. Facebook. Twitter. You know, Twitter, it starts with twit. Okay? It's twit. You're twit? Go ahead. Twit it some more. Twit it. Stop. I felt like Tweety Bird there for a minute. Twit it. Twit tweeting. Okay? Spend some time in the Word of God. You want to know Him? Do you really want to believe in Him? Faith comes by hearing, and that by the Word of God. You need to have this Word inside of you. You want to have more faith? Read the Word of God. You want to see what God did in the past? You know, God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Same God. Same miracle-working God in the Old Testament as the New Testament. Same God that divided the Red Sea that the Hebrews could walk across is the same God that loves you, that has prepared a dwelling place for you, a mansion in glory. He has a place for you in the kingdom. The same God. There is no difference between the two. The same God demands, I was going to try to say a different word, but I think it is a demand. Demands that we seek Him with all of our heart. He demands that we desire Him with all of our heart. And this is not a strong suggestion, read your Bible and trust in God. He says, if you want to see the miracle workings of God, if you want to see God in your life, walk with Him, follow Him, do what He says, read His Word, pray. Here's a big one, fast. I don't mean quick. And I know when I say that people cringe. I can't do without a Hershey bar every 3 minutes of my life. So, okay, stop it. You can. You can. You can fast and pray. You can come before the Lord with an openness of heart and say, God, I want you more than X. Fill in X. Fill in that blank with whatever is prevalent in your life right now. Maybe God's not calling you to fast from food. And he is calling it a fast from the entire net. You ever think of that? I think that's a god in America right now. Thanks, Wendy, for this illustration.